Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
People Fixing the World is the podcast looking for solutions to the problems we face today.
It could potentially ease the suffering of millions.
We have a solution. Let's do it.
People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service.
Welcome to the documentary in the studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Rachel Royce, and in this programme we're following the fashion designer Maria Gratch-Vogel as she celebrates 30 years in the fashion business and creates her autumn 2024 collection.
The idea of everything I do is using cut and fit to sculpt the body, so I create an illusion.
She's dressed many famous names, including singer and fashion designer Victoria Beckham and Oscar-winning actors Emma Thompson and Angelina Jolie, as well as models Yasmin Le Bon and Daisy Lowe.
The women are always my inspiration, and I love the challenge of creating things that make women feel fabulous.
It's mid-December and I'm on my way to see Maria now in her studio in Jermyn Street in central London. It's not an area usually associated with women's fashion. It's better known for gentlemen's clubs and gentlemen's outfitters. It's a long time since I've seen her. I first met her in the 90s when she was starting out and I had a fashion show on TV.
Hello, Maria Gratch-Vogel.
Oh, hi, it's Rachel Royce for Maria.
Hi, I'm on a door for you.
A big green door up some stairs. Hello! Lovely to see you.
And you too.
Jane.
Neither of you.
Oh,
you look
wow.
Exactly the same.
Oh, isn't that amazing? So this is a studio.
So this is our space, which we adore. Used to be the family apartment of the florist family, so we're directly above florists, the perfumers, and it has an incredible history, this space. That's why you see fireplaces and a certain feeling of it being a bit like a home.
We're in an elegant room with high ceilings and white walls, and hanging on rails around the room are Maria's designs in silks, satins, jerseys and velvets, mostly in subdued but rich colours. Maria tells me that she's been sketching some ideas for her new collection over the weekend. She brings out her sketches and some swatches of fabric to show me.
So this is our sort of planned colour palette. One of the first things I do is start really thinking about colours, and that is a sort of instinct a little bit, but I also pull fabrics that I like that feel really relevant for now, and I'm loving this. It's a beautiful wool herringbone tweed, so it has a fabulous texture to it.
It's quite light as well for a tweed, isn't it?
It's quite light, so it'll make beautiful trousers, which is one of the things we're really well known for. It'll also do a really beautiful jacket or coat. So the fabric often leads in terms of what we might make out of it. So I'm loving this as a sort of starting point for the collection. And then I started pulling different fabrics that and different colours that we could work with it. So I quite love the idea of almost this sort of bronze colour, the carbon, this beautiful teal blue.
Maria's holding up a white card with these pieces of fabric pinned onto them. It's sort of like a thought board of fabric.
And then we have some jerseys, which are different shades of sort of black, different greys, but tonal greys, so sort of anthracite and slate type greys that might mix in beautifully with the herringbone tweed.
And do you actually at this stage do any sketches of the shape of the garment?
Yes, I do. So I'll show you how it works a little bit, because, of course, you don't always have a sketchbook when you have an idea. So quite often I'm making sketches of ideas on little pieces of paper that happen to be floating around in my bag, on my desk, wherever I happen to be, and I think of an idea and I want to get it down on paper. So it doesn't always be a perfect sketch on a sketchbook. These concepts or ideas are often things in my head about how I might drape something, So we started, this is a little bit the starting point. I'm quite liking the idea of a kind of higher drape around the neck.
Maria has got a big, large official scrapbook, and then she's got little bits of paper which are a bit like at the back of an envelope or something that she's done this muffly. Is it like a muffle around the top there? Or how would you describe that?
It's a beautiful high neck drape, essentially. So I'm quite liking the feeling of capes, actually. So I've been experimenting, obviously only on paper really at this point, although we have just started today to make some toiles, which we have yet to see.
How many pieces will you design for a new collection?
So we have something called a bit of a range plan, and that helps me keep things really tightly edited and really thought through in terms of what we might want in the collection, how many pieces we might want. And I am thinking that we need a few new dresses. We definitely need a really new jumpsuit, because I adore jumpsuits, always have.
I remember the first time I met you, you were wearing a jumpsuit.
I think that's been my signature since I was about, 17 or 18. You know how I discovered jumpsuits? I wanted something to go out dancing in. So I made something for myself on a Saturday afternoon, and I loved it so much. It just almost became my uniform.
And that's when Maria's school friends began asking her to make clothes for them as well. And that was the beginnings of her business.
People underappreciate the value of a beautifully cut something to make you feel really good about your body. And I think when I first started, aged about 12, I started from that place, because at age 12, 13, you're just starting to get into that sort of teenager insecurity. And from my perspective, I wanted to make myself look slimmer and more like the models you see in the magazine, right? So, you know, if you put yourself into a teenage mind, we're just learning to be comfortable with our bodies. So I started cutting and making clothes for myself to make me feel like that. And that's when I learned how a beautifully cut something, doesn't matter, dress, trouser, whatever, can make you feel like you've lost your dress size.
But you were only 12. How did you manage to make your own clothes? Were you having lessons at school? Did your mother teach you?
Well, since 8, I wanted to be a fashion designer. And I think it was around 12, my mum said, if you want to be a fashion designer, you're going to have to learn how to cut and sew.
Wanting to make women feel good about their bodies is still at the heart of Maria's work. Her best-selling item is the wonderfully named Magic Trousers.
The idea of everything I do is using cut and fit to sculpt the body. So I create an illusion when you're wearing clothes. So the Magic Trousers, for example, they're seamless at the side, and they have a kind of curved seam at the back that kind of lengthens the leg and gives you shape if you have no shape. And if you have shape, it kind of lengthens and streamlines the leg and the hip area. So I guess that's how they got their name. But I like to do that with all of the cutting in the collection. So every single thing I do is considered to enhance a woman's body and to make her feel empowered and beautiful.
Now, we're not talking something that most people can afford here, are we? Do you ever consider, you know, who is wearing it, and would you like more people to be able to afford to wear it?
I actually have a really different point of view on that question, because I think that we have clients that have shopped with us for 30 years and still wearing the pieces that they bought 10 years, 20 years ago, sometimes even 30 years ago.
Maria takes me upstairs to her design room, next to her cutting and sewing room. Her entire business, showroom and production, takes place in this one building. She's begun making patterns and what are known as toiles for the new collection.
So it comes from the French, T-O-I-L-E, toile. It literally just means fabric, but it's a mock-up of a garment, essentially. So we use that really to test the pattern and to see how we feel in something and to really be able to inhabit a garment in 3D. This is our design room. All behind here is my archive. 30 years of archive toiles and archive garments. I could store it off-site, but then I don't have it here to reference. And so much of my process is about referencing those, trying them on, feeling them, what kind of feeling it creates. And that's how I evolve my designs. what we'll see as we start designing is I might pull some of those old toiles and reuse them, even from the point of view of visualising something, even if I'm creating something new. This has been twisted here at the side, and so when that's on the body, you'll see a little bit of shoulder here and this beautiful kind of twist at the side. Then on the other side, it's a little bit asymmetric, and this will turn into a sleeve. So again, it's got that sort of slight capiness to it, but you'll have a simple neckline, a little bit of extra draping here, a beautiful sleeve, and this how it's evolving into this kind of crossover back.
Then we put it on the body and see how it feels. That's when the fun begins.
The fun involves Maria taking the toile and experimenting, first positioning and adjusting the prototype garment over a mannequin before trying it on herself and then other willing members of her small team. Once Maria's in the dress, she asks her assistant Midori to come in and have a look.
And what do you think about this, shaping-wise?
Shaping-wise is nice. Instead of having, you know, this triangle, I think it's nicely curved. Mm-hmm. Will be good.
We literally cut it yesterday, and we made up the toile this morning. And we only made the top part because obviously I wanted to see how this draping was and to see if we liked it. And then as I've looked at it, I've been inspired about the idea of trying it with this dress, which I've now put on underneath, so we can see how the shapes work together. And what we have to do is we have to imagine. So what we're imagining is instead of this skirt having a waist, which you can see here, this particular dress has a waistline, that if we bring up the waistline and shape it to match the dress, you have this kind of shape and a cape over the back on the back side of things. But just the fit and the shape of the skirt, you can see it's sort of seamless and hugs the body. Perhaps it could be a fraction longer. What do you think?
I don't know. I like the a little bit bottom the knee lengths.
Okay. Yes. Perhaps we should try it on you and see how that length is on you.
They switch places and now it's Midori's turn in the outfit. She's shorter and curvier than Maria.
So, yeah, this is where it's sitting on you. You probably need another 2 inches, I'd say, onto the length of that. What do you think? Do you want to have a look in the mirror?
Yes, it's kind of... My top part is here, so I prefer around here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where my dress seam starts here, so...
Maybe 2 more inches.
More than that.
Should we measure it?
Yeah.
I have centimetres in here.
Well, centimetres will be fine.
Yeah.
I'm doing both.
So Midori now has the toile on, and it doesn't fit in the same way that it fitted on Maria, because they are different shapes.
I think around 8.
So 8 centimetres.
Around, yeah.
But that's going to be almost at your waist.
When you make your final pattern, to which size are you modelling it?
We do it to both. So the whole idea of fitting on many different body shapes is I want to have something Midori's going to be happy with, but something I'm going to be happy with too. And that's how you evolve a fit that works across many different body shapes and not just one body shape.
Maria's still at the early design stage for her autumn 2024 collection, but it has to be ready to present to buyers during London Fashion Week in February, less than 2 months away. It was at the same event in the year 2000 that Maria hit global headlines when Spice Girl Victoria Beckham modelled for her.
I don't think either of us expected the reaction that it had. Because I remember her calling me afterwards saying, "Have you seen? Well, it's everywhere."
That was the press reaction, right?
That was the press reaction, and it literally did go everywhere. It had got to the front page news in every country, so it was pretty incredible at the time.
What was she wearing?
The first was a kind of cashmere roll neck top, very simple top, with a pair of shorts, and then I also created a finale dress for her, which was a black chiffon over a pink ruffle dress.
That was before she had her own collection or not?
Yes, it was. It was indeed.
Do you think you're part of why she got into making her own collection? Did she watch and learn, Maria?
Oh, I don't know.
How important was that from putting your name out there?
Well, I think obviously it had had a very significant effect at the time in terms of having the name really known and recognised globally. So, yeah, it was a bit of a fashion moment in history.
The information spaces we inhabit can resemble a hall of mirrors.
It's called guided democracy or managed democracy. There are different parties, different candidates, but everyone knows who is going to win.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast helping you make sense of them.
We've seen a crackdown on the opposition. We've seen an increase in censorship.
That's The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts. You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, and we're following fashion designer Maria Gratsch Vogel as she creates her autumn 2024 collection. I next visit Maria in her studio on a cold and grey mid-January day. There's now just 4 weeks to go until she's showing her new range to buyers as part of London Fashion Week. So how's it going?
Well, it's now a little bit full steam ahead in terms of the collection. So I'm doing multiple things kind of all at the same time. So a bit of work on fabrics today, including some print painting. And then we have our machinist Diver in today. So she is sewing some of our very first samples, which is always super exciting because then I get to actually see how my kind of ideas and creations are once they're in the real fabric.
So what samples have you prepared already for the new collection?
Well, this is the very first one. So it's the very first one that's made it through to the, yep, we're very happy with this and we want to cut it and turn it into a garment. And so I haven't tried it on yet, but I'm really excited to. I really want to see how it is because I'm developing this completely new sleeve drape. It needs a little bit of work and draping on the body. So it's not a completely finished thing because when you make the very first garment, actually there's always a little bit of, let's say, design element that happens through the fittings.
Maria wriggles into the sample along the figure-hugging dress. What material is this, Maria?
It's a jersey, actually, and the colour is like it's a slate, so it's between a grey and a blue.
I think we were looking at those sort of colours when we looked at the colour palettes, weren't we? Is this going to be a key fabric in your new collection?
Well, we usually use a little bit of jersey and then we use some satin back crepe, and we were wondering whether to make this in satin back crepe, but I think we decided in the end to make it in jersey because it means, oddly enough, it can be a little bit more everyday. And although it looks like a long dress, I think when you style it with a belt, it's something you can actually wear much more casually. But what we're looking at now is, let's say, the evolution of this is a new draped sleeve that I'm working on. And so I was wondering about the idea of how it would work if I tie it into a little knot across the shoulder. And I think I do like it with a little knot.
I think the knot looks really nice. It shows a little bit more of neckline, doesn't it?
And it gives it a very interesting drape across the top of the arm. And I'm imagining now the prints that I've started to paint and how that's going to be on this garment, because that's the sort of next thing that I'm doing. I started working on an idea for this, but I now need to, let's say, finish it and refine it for this dress.
Maria's really pleased with this first sample and wears it through into the sewing room to show the rest of the team. But the reaction from her assistant Midori to the new knot isn't perhaps as enthusiastic as she'd hoped.
What do you think?
You don't like it?
It's like how it's pointing out.
Oh, well, I mean, you can style that, but
you can point down.
Either way,
no.
I don't think
you don't like it.
No.
Oh, no, I really
that's
love
a disappointing
it.
Response yeah, from your team. Say, who's in charge here, though, Maria, or how much do you listen to the team?
Well, I do, because that's really important, team feedback. So, you know, the next thing is I'm going to have Midori try it on.
After some discussion about how to keep the shape created by the knot without actually tying the knot, we return to the design room where Maria, despite the critique, is forging ahead with designing a digital artwork print for the dress.
You're making the print on the computer. How does the print get onto the dress?
I take the individual patterns of each of the garments and then I paint inside on the computer, and then we print them onto a special fabric. It's been specially treated for printing. And then after that, we basically cut them and sew them in the studio.
Does that mean this dress will ultimately be made not in this jersey fabric that we're seeing here, but a special fabric that's designed to take print?
So it'll be made in both. So I will have the jersey, which becomes something I can wear every day, and the printed fabric will definitely feel a little bit more special. So we'll use the same quality as this, which is a silk satin, and I'm painting the prints not just as a piece of fabric, but also considering the print, the shape of the garment, and how that print is going to sit on a woman's body, so that it almost kind of creates a sculpture in itself. You're wearing a sort of 3D piece of art. It's a bit of a lengthy process because you're sort of painting them, and it's a little bit instinctive as well. And I never know where it's going to go. My job as a sort of, let's call it digital artist, is to envisage what that's going to be or what the print is going to do on the body. So I did start to work on this print because each print, I mean, this has taken me so far about 6 hours of painting. And I'm sort of happy with the direction that this is going.
Can you describe it for me, what you've got there?
So what I've got here is almost like a little bit of a sort of graphic flower, which should sit across the neck and come down on the draping side of the dress. And then on the side with the little cap sleeve, you have a sort of, it's slightly darker down one side, as you can see, and a kind of darker kind of across the hip area. So the whole idea is you've got this beautiful kind of long shape on the body. It's going to give you a kind of silhouette and a shape.
And it's in a chocolate brown against cream. Is that actually how you would envisage it being, the colours that you would use?
I'm just playing with colour at the moment. So it goes between a sort of grey and a coffee and a rich chocolate. And then I overlaid the black flower on top of it. So it worked in kind of layers and blended the two things together, added a little bit more chocolate into the black so that that became richer. And so it didn't look at odds with the chocolate that was there. And so I built it up like that. In fact, one of the things I was going to do was look at how we change the colours.
So Maria is now pressing her colour bar. Let's see what it looks like in another colour.
Yeah, so I think this looks really beautiful with the deep red. And then also taking it into that sort of shades of teal and blue, and perhaps dropping the saturation down so it's a little bit more greyed off. I think that also looks really beautiful.
And sometimes you do very bright colours with the prints, don't you?
Sometimes I do. It depends on the feeling and the inspiration. But if you remember the kind of colour palette that we were working to, we've got all those kind of shades of, well, from the tweed, in fact. I don't know if you remember the tweed that we're looking at. And if you can see the colours here, you've got these greys and blues and this beautiful kind of bronze colour.
How much do you refer back to these fabric swatches while you're designing your print?
All the time. All the time. I'm constantly referencing back the colours on the fabrics. I was also playing with a kind of reversal of the colours here. So you've got the chocolate and the dark bits with actually this being kind of the light part. But I think I'm not quite sure yet which one I like, which way round I prefer it.
For what it's worth, I'm liking the cream and chocolate brown.
Yeah, I kind of love it too.
How do you feel about your new collection at this stage?
I'm at the kind of stage where I now know where I'm going, which is great. And that usually happens when you've got a few really great toiles and the first sample or two is coming through, and then you start to get really excited because you can feel how it's building. And then it builds quite quickly.
It's been 10 years since Maria put on a catwalk show at London Fashion Week. Instead, she makes a film to show customers and buyers. And for this, her 30th anniversary year, she's doing something different.
We have literally just confirmed that we are going to do an event during London Fashion Week. So we usually show our film digitally and release it as a premiere on our kind of channel. But this time we have decided that we're going to do a special event where we'll have a physical screening, live screening of the film, followed by cocktails and canapés, which will be really lovely, very special.
It's London Fashion Week and I'm at Maria's party where she's showing her spring 2024 range. Her autumn collection that In the Studio has been following will be revealed at a later date. At the event, her guests have all been invited to wear an item of Maria's clothing from their own wardrobes. I noticed that Maria's wearing her trademark jumpsuit.
Hi, Maria. Hello. Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Oh, yes, of course, we're having our photograph taken. Maria, so when I saw you last, it was a month ago, I think. How is the autumn collection? Is it all ready now?
It is all ready, and it is looking beautiful.
And the dress itself, it was the one where there was a question of the knot or not. To knot or not.
To knot or not. And, you know, we ended up with a knot without the little tie. So it's still a kind of knot shape, but the tie element, the little bit that sticks up, we actually found a way to tuck it in and make it a little bit more discreet.
So Midori won about the knot not sticking up.
So Midori won about the knot not sticking up, and she was right. So, you know, it's really important, I think, to take in feedback from people and to just, you know, in a sense it becomes a little bit more of a collaborative thing rather than just one person dictating the designs, as it were. Well, thank you all for joining us for this special evening to celebrate my 30th anniversary at London Fashion Week.
After the screening, I catch up with some of the guests who are wearing Maria's clothes.
My name's Sarah Sullivan, and I'm wearing a relatively recent Maria Grazvogel dress, which is the most beautiful red colour.
Have you worn her clothes a long time?
Since about 1992.
1992, you must have been one of her first customers.
I think I was.
I'm Nicoletta, I'm a personal stylist, and I'm wearing one of Maria's jumpsuits.
And have you had it a long time?
Yes, I have many pieces by Maria, and this is probably one of the first ones. You just wear them all the time, as long as you keep the same size.
So, Maria, after 30 years in the business, and it is a difficult business, what keeps you still designing?
Well, I think it's really the passion for what I do. I love what I do, and I think I'm always learning something new because I'm creating, I'm inventing new things each time, and ultimately it's all about the woman. So the joy that I have from that moment of empowerment, that keeps me going every single time.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service with the fashion designer Maria Grazvogel. The programme was produced by me, Rachel Royce, and the executive producer was Andrea Kidd.
The information spaces we inhabit can resemble a hall of mirrors.
It's called guided democracy or managed democracy. There are different parties, different candidates, but everyone knows who is going to win.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast helping you make sense of them.
We've seen a crackdown on the opposition. We've seen an increase in censorship.
That's The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.